Madam Chairman and members of the committee, I'm Donna Sitek. I'm from Salem. I'm happy to be here today, back in my old haunt, and back doing the policy matters that has been so close to my heart for the 23 years I was in the legislature, and indeed the 11 years since I left. The one thing that will get me out of my warm house on a winter day is anything to do with criminal sentencing. I consider myself the guardian of truth in sentencing, and I came exactly 11 months ago today. I joined the legions of supporters of Senate Bill 500, which was the Justice Reinvestment Plan. Representative Pepino showed you the report on which it was based. What I've circulated to you is page 10 of this report, which is a snapshot that describes what we were trying to do. And for those of you who are new to the subject matter, because I notice about half the committee are new faces, that's the view from 30,000 feet. That's what we're trying to accomplish with Senate Bill 500. It was a result of intensive analysis of New Hampshire corrections data and consultation with hundreds of stakeholders, and it passed by significant margins, as you've heard. Among other provisions, Senate Bill 500 required that nonviolent prisoners be released on parole after serving 120% of their minimum sentence. That's the nonviolent. They could get out, at 100%. Under truth in sentencing, you have to serve at least your minimum, 100% of your minimum before you see the sidewalk again. But after you get 120%, we kick you out the door with supervision. Going to keep an eye on you. The bill also provided that all prisoners, including those convicted of violent crimes, would be released under intensive supervision 9 years before their maximum sentence. Why not 9 years? 9 months before their maximum sentence. And why'd we pick that number? It's because studies show that half of those who reoffend do so within the first 8 months. So we thought that 9 months would be an appropriate amount of time. The idea was that by providing services in the community to parolees, the parolees would be much better equipped to successfully reenter society and less likely to return to prison. And that's what we were trying to do, stop the revolving door. You may recall at the time we talked about the corrections budget had doubled in 10 years with no increase in the crime rate. It was just probationers and parole violations were half of the admissions to the state prison. That's why we decided we needed to do something about it. Now, I wish that one of us had suggested delaying the effective date. Hindsight's 2020. Boy, wouldn't that have been smart? If we had delayed the effective date until the department could staff up and ensure that all the community programs would be in place. As it was, the DOC had to scramble to get their contracts approved and their staff reallocated. When the first inmates, unfortunately three sex offenders, were released under the 9-month rule, it was the height of the political campaign season. You know the rest of the story. A lot of you were here because of the rest of the story. Hence this bill. House Bill 524 makes two changes to existing law. I oppose Section 1 of the bill. This is the part that removes violent offenders from the mandatory supervised release 9 months before their maximum. Under the bill, if you pass it, pedophiles, robbers, stalkers, rapists and the like, who couldn't or wouldn't behave and do their programs inside the prison could max out and walk away as free men. The department wouldn't know where they're going, and no one would be watching them. These are the worst of the worst, that if this bill passes, walk out the door, so long, Charlie, not telling you where I'm going. I think we'd all be safer when the most dangerous criminals are placed under close supervision and required to abide by parole conditions, which might include staying away from their victims. That's why victims groups have supported this bill. They like to know where the bad guys are. This can't happen under Section 1 of this bill, so I urge you to amend it right out of this bill, along with Section 3, which is only in there because it's a cross-reference to Section 1. Section 2 of the bill addresses some of the problems with the penalty for parole violations. Under current law, when the parolee doesn't conform to his parole plan by attending treatment or getting a job or checking in with his probation parole officer, he can have his parole revoked, and after hearing, be placed in a special 90-day program designed to help him keep focus on his parole plan. This hasn't worked as we intended, partly because of program and facility limitations. But mainly, it hasn't worked because there's no incentive for an inmate to comply with the new rules because he's guaranteed to be right out after 90 days, regardless of whether he participates. This bill would give the parole board discretion to give shorter or even longer penalty for noncompliance right up to serving their maximum. This bill also, I thought it clarified the period between, how you calculate the period between the time your parole is revoked and how that applies to your maximum sentence. The parole board has other suggestions for that last sentence in that section. Now, you know better than I do how tight the budget is. You're here every week listening to how painful it's going to be. The provisions of the Justice Reinvestment Plan that was adopted last year, and it was supported by federal grants, and it provides data-driven policy framework to reduce spending on corrections and increase public safety by reducing recidivism. Please give it time to work before you toss it out. I urge you to correct the 90-day problem by amending the bill to contain only the language in Section 2. What about Section 1? Well, I think it deserves more study. I'd encourage you to work with the department and with the Justice Center. We had a lot of professional help in developing this to determine how much progress they've made and what other modifications might be needed to achieve the goals of the plan, which so many people contributed so much energy and expertise to. If you decide to continue to study it, a couple of issues that you might want to consider. You might want to revisit the list of the 16 crimes. They're on the back of the pink sheet I handed out. Those are the 16 crimes that are considered violent. If the problem with this is you don't want the sex offenders to be kicked out the door nine months in advance, well, maybe you ought to change the list and make it not all of them. That's something you might consider. You might also consider keeping the list of the 16 crimes, but saying that there's a presumption of mandatory supervision for 9 months before their max, unless the parole board finds exigent circumstances to continue their incarceration. You could also find out, are the necessary community programs in place? We've heard a lot of skepticism about whether they are or they aren't. Joe Diamond is here. He can tell you what's ready and what's not. You know, has the plan been fully implemented? Do the PPOs have the resources they need? These are all legitimate questions you could examine if you want to focus on making sure the provisions that you passed last year are actually implemented. I also wonder, are the federal grants that we're depending on for this are going to be affected if you change this right now? I don't know the answer to that, but these are questions that you might have about the bill. If you have any questions about my testimony, I'm here to take them. Thank you for your attention.